I'm asking you.
No, I'm not saying you think I am.
Did Michael Cohen tell you specifically, really just yes or no, that he is cooperating with the authorities should charges be brought? Did he tell you? Do you not want to answer the question?
No.
Sensible, adjective, having, using, or showing good sense or sound judgment.
I'm not a classy guy.
Come on, two words, nipple belt.
You look like peaches and syrup.
I think Amber would look good scalped.
Not sensible.
Sensible people.
What's going on, Sensible Nation? It's a new day, episode 22, live from yours truly, Mr. Raw Dog Ryan.
What's up, sensible fuckers?
And myself, Tay Wagner. What's going on? It's been a very busy couple weeks for us. We've got summer in full swing. It's very exciting. Sensible People's got a lot going on. We've got an event coming up we're going to share a little light on later in the episode. And
little
big
light,
news.
No pun intended. Little light. You guys right. Will find out soon.
And big episode for us. We've got the Perez Hilton on the show later, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We've had him on our radar for quite a while, trying to get him on, and he's finally obliged, and we're going
to
have some fun
with him.
Not
to be confused with Paris Hilton and the Night Vision Green video, but the Perez fucking Hilton is coming on the show.
It's going to be fantastic. I'm really, really looking forward to our interview with Perez. So, in the beginning of this, you know, we played Tom Arnold's clip from CNN a couple days ago. And I know it's been in the news, just a wacky scenario. And I'm just hoping that Perez is a much better guest than Tom Arnold was on CNN.
Well, let's start with, I'm guessing Perez is going to come on the show at least somewhat sober. Tom Arnold, something was going on upstairs.
Well, I mean, kudos to Poppy Harlow, who was the CNN personality interviewing, because she pretty much held her composure.
I don't know how.
It was hard to watch, I would say. I mean, you want to laugh at first.
I felt bad for
him. Googly eyes, but then you feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. Check it out. Just Google Tom Arnold CNN interview. Guys, check it out. It's only like two and a half minutes long.
And that dead space that we played in the beginning, that was one of two big gaps of space where he was asked a question and then was completely dead silent, staring off into space.
So weird.
How do you react if you're Poppy?
She did a good job.
I mean, if we had a guest in here in studio, we would start just ripping him to shreds, I feel like.
Bash him right in the head with this beer bottle I'm drinking.
Obviously, a little bit of a different zone being in our studio live on CNN, but something that was pretty funny and was in the news recently. So, another thing, the World Cup is going on.
Yay.
Do you give a flying fuck about the World Cup?
No, I don't give a shit.
I know, right? Here's my take. If you are a soccer fan and the World Cup comes around, I know this is super ignorant, super American, super gringo, whatever you want to call it. But my take is, look, I'm an American. I don't watch soccer. I didn't play soccer growing up.
Same thing.
I don't care about soccer. I care about football, baseball, basketball, hockey, MMA.
The American sports.
Right, right. So I just do not care when the World Cup comes on. And if you're a big soccer fan, I'm happy for you. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
But what drives me nuts are all the people that you know don't care.
But they try to act like
they
do.
But they act like they do. And they act like they know what they're talking about. And they build their schedules around it. And they start asking questions like they know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah.
And then make you feel bad because you don't know. And it's ridiculous because you don't give a shit.
No. And like you said, as big as sports fans as we are, but it is... I mean, it is the biggest sport in the world, but it not in America. So I don't care about it. Like, just like you, I didn't grow up playing it. I hated it. And to be quite frankly honest, the kids, like, maybe not high school, but growing up in, like, elementary school and junior high, the kids who played soccer were the worst athletes in the American sports. In baseball, football, basketball, whatever, they played soccer because anybody could just go run on the field. And I'm not trying to say it doesn't take skills, but as an adolescent, you could just send your kid out there. They could go run around and have no skills.
Was Jackson, are you going to have him?
No,
signed up
he's not going
to
be in soccer.
He's not allowed.
But
to
I
play
will
soccer.
Say, when I used to play video games, the FIFA or World Cup video games were really fun to play, even though I didn't know any of the players.
Right, right. But that's different.
Yeah.
That's totally different. So what really I usually end up doing is playing this like ignorant fan. So I ask them stupid questions because I know it's grinding my gears that they're even talking to me about soccer when they know they don't care. And yeah. I go in every bar and it's on every fucking TV. I'm like, are you kidding me? These people are not.
How long does it last even?
I think it's like 2 years.
I know. When does it end?
I don't know. I should have a countdown. But I play the ignorant side of it and I'll be like, is David Beckham still the best in the world? Yeah. You know, I'll ask things that clearly show that I don't know anything, but I act like I do. Be like, oh, yeah, so this is like for the championship of the MLS, right?
Yeah. I was a big, I liked Ronaldinho back in the day. I don't know what's wrong. I know he's got like eight wives, but.
Ronaldinho?
I don't know. He was like a little guy who did like trick shots and stuff, so it was fun
James
to watch.
Dean, the James porn Dean. Star? I don't know, man. I went into a bar in Wrigleyville a couple days ago, and I did a tour of Wrigley, which was awesome. It was a gift for Christmas somebody had sent me. Did the tour with my wife, came out, went to a bar across the street. This was a Sunday afternoon, so the Cubs were playing on the road in Cincy, and it was a day game. So I go into this bar expecting it to have the Cubs game on, right?
Because it's right across the field and affiliated with the team.
Of course.
In the hotel.
It's in the new hotel, in fact.
Yeah.
And it's directly across the street. I mean, it's maybe 30 yards away. And I walk in and I know because I had seen on my phone the Cubs were up 6-1, sixth or seventh inning. So I look around. Cubs game is not on the TV whatsoever. And I, you know what's on the TV? The fucking World Cup.
In non-HD?
I think it might have been in HD. But the World Cup's playing. It's two countries I probably never even heard of. And everybody's sitting there looking at the TV like that's what they care about.
They're drinking foreign beers, too.
Probably. And I ask the guy, wait, you're not playing the Cubs game? B was even more outraged than I am, and she's not a huge baseball fan. And the guy's like, oh, you know what? We have it upstairs on a corner TV. So, of course, we're like, okay. We go up. There's, like, all the Cubs
huddled
around a little tabletop. Like, come on. So we went somewhere else. Like, I'm not in Wrigleyville, the home of the Cubs, to watch soccer. I'm sorry.
We talked about this in earlier episodes. I can't remember which one. But just the fact of bars not getting their TVs right. I mean, as ignorant as we are with the World Cup, play it. That's fine. But play the Cubs game as well somewhere else when you're right across the fucking street.
No kidding. Bars just... they're run by morons at the end of the day.
They are.
So, I don't know. That's my beef with soccer and the World Cup. If you're a soccer fan, hope you enjoy it. But we certainly don't.
You're a moron!
But, you know, maybe we're just bitter that we don't make as much money as these soccer, because they do make a shit ton of money.
Well, and that, I don't know if he's still current, but the announcer, the legendary announcer that would announce goals. I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
His goal announcing is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's like the Brazilian Vin Scully.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Goal!
What we did want to bring up to you guys, another light, is recent headlines that caught our attention recently, and we have a couple for you. And the first one reads, man gets tired of sitting in traffic, hacks into electronic billboard to stream porn. And this story is a 24-year-old IT worker in Indonesia recently decided he had a better idea for how to pass the time. He hacked into the nearest electronic billboard and streamed hardcore Japanese porn for frustrated commuters to communally watch in horror. Feeling bored on his afternoon commute in the Indonesian capital, the man spotted the billboard's login details displayed on the Videotron. So he broadcasted 10 minutes of the porn flick Watch Tokyo Hot until the power was shut off.
Dude, of course, that's like the best name for a porno, right? Watch Tokyo Hot.
A lot of thought went into that. Right. Or did it get lost in translation from Japanese to English?
I think it was quite lost in translation.
But how, first of all, how not sensible as the billboard company puts the login credentials to, like, I'm guessing, like, an admin panel or of some sort.
I don't get that.
Why would you put it on there?
Wait, so it's just on the digital part? Like, log in here. Here's the username. Well, here's the password.
You're a moron.
And I picture this 24 IT-year-old worker just like I hit like AirPlay for, like on my Apple TV, he probably did that with the billboard, and here you go. Right. I'm stuck in traffic watching porno.
Exactly. So everybody's watching this fucking hardcore Japanese porn for 10 minutes. And this poor fucker, because it's taken so seriously, even though it was a prank by him, he's facing 12 years in jail, it says.
Yeah, because they're really conservative, I guess, yeah. over there. But.
So, I mean, what I have no idea. We'll have to dial up our legal buddies to see if we were to do that in the States, what we'd be facing. But I can't imagine it'd be 12 years.
No way.
I sure hope not.
What I can say is billboard company, not sensible.
Not sensible.
24-year-old IT worker, very sensible.
Very, very sensible. Seems like something that Sonny Patel would do, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if Sonny's smart enough to figure out how to log in.
He doesn't have the tech skills, does he?
Doesn't.
So I've got another one here. And the headline is, this is recent, June 14th, woman gets head stuck in truck tailpipe at Minnesota Music Festival.
Keyword, Minnesota.
Or, yes. It's close enough to Wisconsin. It's probably something Amber would do, right? So this woman, she was underage because she eventually got arrested for underage drinking. But she was called to the Winstock Music Festival in Minnesota. And the fire department was called to the Winstock Music Festival to help her get her head freed from this tailpipe. And there is a video and some pictures, and it's fucking hilarious because her head is completely up the exhaust pipe of this fucking truck. I can't even imagine putting my head, like, how big was this tailpipe, you know?
I don't know, but the crazy thing is there is live audio from this happening. And
no doubt,
we'll
really.
We'll let the audience listen to the live audio.
Let's take a listen.
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare you!
So she got triple dog dared.
So she had to.
I think so.
Right?
I think that's how it started. So she got dared, then she got down on her knees, and then here we go. So I think that's what happened.
Well, we have enough respect for each other that we've never triple dog dared each other to do anything, right? I mean, we've kind of been brainstorming sessions and whatnot, dared each other to do this, do that, eat something, whatever. We bet on stuff. We do that, and we own up to our bets. But a triple dog dare, you got to just take it, right?
Well, I'm like looking at this news clip, and they do show a little like video. It's like 5 seconds, but it shows her head in there. She's wearing like a flowered blouse. She looks, I mean, you can't see her face, but she's got to be hammered. Got a little underwear sticking out of the jeans. But then, Taylor, I don't know if you noticed, the guy to her left looks like he's going in with like a jackhammer or something. What is he going to do to that tailpipe?
Is that a jackhammer or is that like one of those handheld cameras? He's getting a better shot.
I don't know. He's going to.
He's lying in the grass with a good angle.
He's probably thinking, if worse comes to worse, I can't get her head out. We're just going to have to saw her head off and save the truck.
Exactly.
That's what I would do.
Exactly.
The truck looks pretty nice.
All right. How about this chick? Sensible or not sensible? She was. Now you got to keep in mind, she was triple dog dared.
I would say sensible.
It seems sensible.
Very sensible.
Too funny. Well, there's a really cool event in Chicagoland coming up, and we want to tell you about that right now.
Rosie's Italian Eatery in Antioch, Illinois, is the area's leading restaurant serving surrounding areas since 2017. They offer outdoor seating, video gaming, a full bar, and more. For your next Italian meal, visit Rosie's Italian Eatery in Antioch.
On Friday, July 6th, Rosie's is hosting
Extreme Dwarfinators Wrestling.
The tent's going to open up at about 4 p.m. and the show starts at 8. This is a body slamming activity.
Dwarfinator style.
You're going to see the world's smallest wrestlers and they're going to be competing for the title. This is an all-out pro wrestling war.
Extreme Dwarfinators Wrestling will shock and delight you.
We are the baddest little show on earth. Don't miss this epic event. The best part of all of this, guys, is that sensible people, yours truly, Raw Dog and Tay, have partnered with the event to be on site. You can come swing by, say hi to us, and maybe, just maybe, you'll see us get in the ring.
Let's hope that happens.
For more information and to buy tickets for the event, you're going to want to go and visit extrememidgetwrestling.com and click Get Tickets. We hope to see you guys there. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time that we're really looking forward to.
See you guys there. All right, so I've recently learned that Taylor and I both have summer anniversaries. Him and B have been married a little bit longer than Dana and I. But we thought it'd be a fun game to play the traditional, you guys might know it more as the newlywed game.
Yep.
But we'll just call it the marriage game. And obviously you're listening to sensible people, so there's going to be a little bit more of a twist on it. The questions might be a little more graphic than your average.
A little more.
Newlywed game. So what's going to happen is we're going to alternate reading questions. Our wives behind the scenes have answered these questions. I've only seen B's answers, and Taylor's only seen Dana's answers. So what's going to happen is I'm going to read the question. You're going to guess what you think B said. And so you'll do your guess, and then we'll read what B said, and vice versa with me. I'll make my guess, and we'll see what Dana actually guessed. Be a little good segment to find out a little bit more about us and our relationships. Yeah, I've seen B's answers. I can't wait to read
them. And I've seen Dana's, and I'm going to laugh with you.
All right, so I'll go first to you. When was the first time you got intimate with your partner?
First time would be...
Well, first of all, what's intimate?
Well, yeah, that's a good question because, you know, we talked about the bases back on one of our really early episodes, like 6 or 7, and we had a funny spin on it, but it's intimate,
I think,
defined as
judging
anal?
By...
like what? I would say intimate is sex.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. At least in this context.
2003. We were youngsters.
So you were 8.
I was a freshman in high school.
All right. So B's answer was, oh God, way too young. I hope he doesn't actually answer that on air. So B, he just answered that on air. 2003.
You gotta be truthful.
Circa 2003.
All right. Same question back to you. When was the first time you got intimate with your partner?
So year-wise, I mean... We started dating in 2010, so it was that same year, and we were in a hotel room in Chicago.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. She said, after we watched the Hawks game in the city. Is that how you remember
it?
Yeah,
that was in the city.
All right. All right.
There
you guys are, you're on the same track right now, at least.
Yeah.
Question number two. Which song turns on your partner?
Oh, God. You know,
I hope you don't fuck this one up. You've been playing ICP.
I do like the gigolo.
And she's thinking you're a moron.
I don't have a specific song in mind, but I like some good gangster rap to get me going.
Really?
Like Juicy, Notorious
B.I.G.
But
what turns her on?
That's what I'm guessing. What turns her on?
Okay.
No. That's what you're asking me.
Yeah, yeah.
What song? I would.
What do you cue up for her?
Maybe like a good Drake song. Is that close? What'd she say?
Maybe the modern Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On.
Is that what she put?
Yeah.
Let's get it on. Let's get it on. All
Perfect.
Right, so same to you. What song turns B on?
What's funny is that I didn't look these questions over for myself. You know, I looked at them strictly for reading Dana's to make sure she answered them properly when I told you. But I didn't think of answers myself.
So I know, me either.
Now I'm on the spot here. So I would say some rap, like some 2 Chainz. She likes 2 Chainz.
I'm going to read her exact answer. Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye is the recent favorite. Otherwise, he likes All My Daddy Yankee That I Shake My Booty To.
Daddy Yankee.
I'm just picturing Taylor playing like... I had like a big receiver in the room trying to get the station on, right? All right. Does your partner enjoy the foreplay, he or she, or does he or she like the main action? So in your case, does your partner enjoy foreplay or does she like the main action? But this question is actually, you're guessing what she thinks you said.
Yeah, I would say opinion. Main action. I think to be fair, we both like the main action, I think.
All right, well, she writes, he loves the foreplay every single time.
Great. I guess we're not on the same.
not aligned
yet.
Yeah,
we're not aligned yet. It takes time. All right, so how about you guys?
I'm saying what I, well, yeah. My opinion.
Yeah, say what your opinion.
I want to go straight for it, right to it. I don't need the foreplay. Yeah.
Drop them panties.
Just drop them, grab your ankles, give a couple grunts.
Oh, man.
Keep the Savage. Jeans on.
Savage. Yeah,
I mean, sometimes you could just move the underwear to the side. You don't have to take them off.
Too funny. And what'd she say?
I don't know. What's your answer?
Yeah, I guess I got to read it. We go for the main action. Yeah. 8 seconds in and out. Done in a few.
All right.
I'll read the next one.
You read it.
Which is the weirdest place where both of you got jiggy?
So, funny question for us, because honestly, when we first started dating, there was a lot of weird places.
Why?
I don't know. We would get drunk and whatever. It was like, one was outside, like underneath a billboard getting a train home from the Cubs game. One was outside at a kid's party we were at on the side of the house.
I thought you were going to say kid's playground. I was like, that's like a felony.
One time I was driving, like literally driving, and I thought I was going to crash. I mean, it was not a busy road.
You were having
but still,
sex or foreplay?
Sex while driving.
Was she on top of you?
Yeah.
Well, while driving?
Yes.
How could you see anything?
I was like, dude, my head was on a fucking swivel trying to look around.
The bob and
I mean,
weave.
I was going 10 miles an hour. So if I had to pick out of those, I would say outside underneath the billboard has got to be the weirdest.
That's pretty funny. She said outside a train station.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
That's it.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glad you didn't get caught, huh?
I know.
But you're not a member of the Mile High Club.
No.
Oh,
no.
That reminds me. Did you see I saw on Instagram a couple days ago. I don't know like when this video was quoted because it was just from some comedy publisher that this couple, young couple, was in the back row fucking on like a Southwest flight.
What?
Just like clearly fucking. She's on top of him. You don't see any intercourse
yeah.
or anything because she's wearing a dress.
Why not?
But these people are all recording them. Like nobody stopped them or anything.
And they don't care. They just keep going at it.
They just keep plugging away the old in and out.
Plugging. Love that word.
I don't know if they ended up getting caught or kicked off or whatever. Thrown screaming out of the emergency exit.
Was it anal or vaginal?
I don't
or
know.
Or both.
I don't know. You couldn't see anything.
If he's a double dick, dude.
Double
dick. All right. What about you? Where's your weirdest spot?
We don't have too many weird spots, so I'm really curious. Maybe she'll refresh my mind, but I'm going to say like a
virgin.
Back seat of a car in a beach parking lot.
All right, so you guys are pretty aligned on this question. She says, it's actually on our bucket list to do it somewhere weird.
I saw two big fat naked bikers in the woods off 17 having sex.
The funny thing for me is I'm just picturing B answering these questions. Nothing out of the ordinary stands out.
Yeah, well, we're pretty aligned.
So that's pretty aligned.
I did one time in my old apartment 5 years ago or so. I went out to throw the trash. And I saw this car bouncing up and down.
Yeah.
And it was like late at night, 10 or 11 o'clock. And a weeknight too. And I see it bouncing up and down. I'm like, what's going on in there? You know, I was curious, obviously. Didn't even really cross my mind that people were fucking in there. So I walk up to the car. There's nobody in the front or back or passenger seat.
What?
So I look in the back. Two fucking like high schoolers had hid out behind this dumpster and were just going at it.
Did you take a pee?
No, but they looked up. The guy was such a deer caught in the headlights, dude.
Was it like the hand from Titanic on the fog and he like went down?
Exactly.
Classic scene.
Pretty funny though. They peeled out pretty quickly.
All right. So what would B say to this? Who would she answer for this question? Who's more active in bed?
For sure, her? Me.
She said you are. Yeah.
How about you guys?
I would say me.
And Dana's aligned with you on that one.
Just get him in there and rip it off and give the old Forrest Gump the...
I mean, got to get your cardio in for the day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, why not? Fuck the treadmill.
Have you ever imitated an act of porn on the bed?
Well, yes.
I mean, I guess that goes without saying the couch or anywhere.
Yeah, for sure. We've, I mean, honestly, we don't do it often, but we've put it on before and tried to played along with the actor.
I imagine you putting like the Pam Anderson, Tommy Lee video on. So fuzzy, terrible quality.
Well, what's funny is, I mean, you guys with your dirty minds, you go right to the, you know, intercourse and whatever, what have you, is in porno. But what I imitate is I started off, I did like the whole bit. So I put on like a delivery driver's outfit.
Nice.
And I rang the doorbell and I said, ma'am, or did you order a package?
Oh, too funny. Or how was your acting?
It was perfect, dude. It was. I think Universal gave me a contract. Or the old popcorn trick where you eat popcorn at the movies, cut a hole in the bottom, yep, and you stick your dick in there, and hopefully she grabs that buttery, oily thing.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, and then it's covered in butter. Too funny.
So wait, did you answer that?
No, I haven't yet.
All right. Have you guys ever imitated an act of porn?
Wait, I didn't give you Dana's answer.
Oh, I thought you did.
So she said back in the day.
Back in the day?
Does that mean like
it's not happening
two years,
anymore?
3 years. How long have you been married?
Three.
3 years.
Yeah,
3 year
together eight.
Which is funny. You and I met right before you got married.
Yep. Yeah.
In fact, I got you sick with a cold right before you went on your bachelor party.
Yeah.
You were so mad at me.
Well, hey, easy. We're going to get rumors started if you're getting me sick with a cold. They're wondering how that fucking happened.
So back in the day, I mean, I guess it's a little tamer for you. Yeah. You have one kid and your sex life's
it's
ruined.
More like, hey, hey, hey.
The volume's down a notch. Keep Jackson asleep. All right, what's next?
You didn't answer. Have you guys ever?
Oh, God.
What do you think she said? Have you ever imitated an act of porn?
No doubt.
She said yes.
That's all she said? Yeah.
She said yes.
Yeah.
The Y was capitalized.
The Y and the E?
No, just the Y.
Okay, how about did you kiss on the first date?
I guess my answer is no because, well, first of all, we had a first date. Nothing happened. And then our real first date was actually like the second time we met when we actually like hit it off. I drove her home. But I honestly don't think I kissed her the first date. I was a pussy.
Hmm.
Did she say
not
yeah?
Not sensible. Well, she said, no.
Yeah.
So I guess she doesn't really remember exactly. Yeah. Do you remember? You don't remember when the first kiss was ever?
Well, it was shortly.
Knock some teeth
it was
together.
Shortly after that. Yeah, the teeth clenching or knocking.
Well, remember Amber talked about her first kiss?
Like yeah, with the braces or whatever.
Yeah, so funny.
Did you guys kiss on the first date?
We did not. We did not kiss on the first date, but it was shortly after, not too long. And it was an awkward moment,
yeah.
If I recall. I was going on.
Just
again,
a peck or a little tongue?
Me and I have been together for ages. So I was going on spring break with my family. And I was like, oh, I'm going to miss you. I was so fucking nervous. I went for the kiss and she wasn't expecting it. I tried to slip tongue and it just wasn't happening.
So her answer was no. We were 13 and our first date was a group date. I think maybe we held hands in the movie theaters.
Yeah.
Gasp. But we did kiss on our first alone date.
Okay, that's fair.
So you guys went on group dates.
Group dates, yeah.
So group fucking, group kissing, your first,
no,
the
no
first time
fucking.
You met.
No group fucking.
That's what she wrote.
No, it's not.
She said only on our first date alone did we kiss alone with no anybody else. No, just kidding. All right. How do you know that your spouse is in a mood to make out? So she answered the question of like your mood. You're guessing what she thinks she said about you.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. We don't really make out, like just make out, you know?
Yeah.
So this question.
If we're making out, something else is coming
right,
after.
So it's more like, do I think we're going to have sex or not? Let's make out a little bit and then have sex.
She seems pretty specific.
Let's hear it.
He makes it pretty obvious. He gets handsy and gets a certain look in his eyes. I just picture like a complete psychopath eyes like with the fucking red veins coming down. No! No!
Did you ever see Bucky Larson?
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Bucky Larson.
Yeah.
So good.
That's how I picture you. So funny. So stupid, but so funny.
So I'm guessing what Dana wrote when I'm in the mood.
Well, no, just you answer.
I mean,
how she thinks.
Same with you. I mean, I guess I just kind of go right for it. I guess I get handsy too and maybe give her a grab on the ass and.
Well, Dana said we don't really make out. We just get right to it.
Given my secrets.
It circles back to your.
I'm
going to
write
answer.
A book. Don't reveal my secrets.
All right. Give three words to define your wedding night.
I will say drunk, wet.
Wet.
And memorable.
I hope you're not referring to yourself as wet.
No, wet because it was, at the end of the night, it stormed like
oh,
crazy.
Really?
But sounds... everybody embraced it and it was fun.
But you didn't have an outdoor wedding, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did? Tent or?
Yep, tent.
Okay.
Drunk, wet, and memorable.
Nice. Well, she went fast, food, sleep. And now the best part of this is there are no commas, no punctuation between them. So I don't know what she's talking. Is it fast food, sleep?
You know, we did get McDonald's that night.
Really?
On the way home.
Wow.
Fast food.
I thought you were going to say, we did serve McDonald's. Main course? Big Mac.
All right. What do you think B wrote?
I would say she probably said perfect.
Mm-mm.
Perfect, fun, tasty.
Fun, drunk, magical.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a good caption for our wedding. Yep. It was a good day.
Which physical feature of B, which physical feature of you do you think B likes the most?
My smile.
She said your arms.
My arms.
Your meat hooks.
All right. Which physical feature of your partner attracts you the most? That's
I'm guessing what guessing? Dana she, yeah. wrote about me. I'll say my smile.
That's bullshit. You got it right. Yeah. You guys know.
Well,
each
I knew
other.
She wasn't going to say my abs.
Your booty. All right. Who dominates the love act between the two of you?
I would say for sure me.
The dominator.
Yeah. Put your face in the pillow.
That's how you talk in public gas station. I just picture your door swings open. You're about to buy a pack of cigs. Move out of the way. The dominator is here.
What'd
yeah,
she write?
She went Ryan.
All right. You?
Gotta go me.
She says, we take turns, but I think it's ultimately, it's equal.
I'm just glad nothing got super revealed about you. Yeah. Like, what do you mean? Completely, Dana. I walked Ryan around on a leash for a while.
Put an orange in my mouth like a ball gag. How long does your lovemaking last? You're answering what B wrote.
I would say like a typical, like 8 minutes.
All right. She wrote. An average quickie, about 10 minutes. The good stuff, about 30. That's like a good 7 songs there. They build in stamina.
A lot of rap. A lot of 2 Chainz.
I would say ours is a good 5 to 6 minutes for a quickie. If we're really drunk, 10 to 15.
I think you should check on Dana after you leave because she put down 20. So I think
20
you,
minutes?
You might be done in 5. She's yeah. going in behind the locked door for another 15.
She might be asleep. 20 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good answer.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Who has a better chance of falling asleep while you're fucking?
There's no doubt fucking B. Absolutely B. Because we've talked about this before. B has fallen asleep in movies and
yeah,
weddings.
We're exactly alike.
If it's 8 o'clock, I mean, there's no chance of getting laid.
So you're right. She said herself, but she said, thank God it hasn't happened yet. And okay. I would say I'm more likely to.
You would say more likely
yeah.
to. Well, she said her.
Well, I could see if she's drunk, she could be sleeping.
Yeah.
And I just carry on.
No
kidding.
How does your partner want the lovemaking to be? Quirky, soft, romantic, or go wild? I think I already know the answer.
So
to
I'm
this.
Guessing.
Just say what you would say.
It wild, buck wild. Give me some Western chaps, assless chaps, and let's light the
I just
room on
like
fire.
Firing off a shotgun in the air. She said wild too.
All right. What about you?
I got to go wild.
She wrote wild. It's italicized. I don't know what that means.
Oh, it's like, I don't, maybe it's like a hint for later.
All right. So I think we're down to our last question.
Question.
How does your partner prefer to make love? Lights on or in the dark?
Well, I like it in the light. Dude, like, give me the spotlight.
But sometimes don't you just feel like you're in, like, a fucking science lab or, like, Pearl from Blade? You're like Pearl from Blade getting the light shined on
you. Dude, I want to bring a camera guy with me and have his spotlight. But she would probably say dark.
He likes lights. I like dim lighting or dark. See, B and I are like, again, I don't like dark. But I like put a TV on. Give me
a dim goggles. Yeah.
Just a dim light.
Okay, no bandana over the face.
No, right? No bandana.
Covering the eyes.
Maybe I feel more confident in the darker light. Would she write, Dana?
She went dark.
Dark.
Yeah. Dark.
Dark.
Dark. Pitch black.
Well, wives, thank you for participating in that.
Thank you, ladies.
It was fun, and now I hope you guys know a little bit more about Taylor and I's relationships.
So, speaking of spousal news, or spouses in general, we've got some spousal news to share. So, Ryan, take it away with probably the all-time greatest.
This has to be, and I've heard about this ever since I was a little kid, and I it's still in my brain, but the old story of John and Lorena Bobbitt. And the incident occurred in 1993 in Virginia.
It was that long ago, huh?
That long ago.
Wow.
So, Lorena stated in a court hearing that after coming home at night on June 23rd, 1993, her husband raped her. After her husband had gone to sleep, Lorena grabbed a knife from the kitchen, entered their bedroom, and cut off her husband's penis at the base, leaving a stump. After this, Lorena left the apartment with the severed appendage and drove away in her car. After a while, she threw that dick right out into a field.
That dick.
After realizing the severity of her crime, she stopped and called 911. John's penis was found after an exhaustive search in a cornfield, and it was reattached in the hospital where he was treated. The operation took 9.5 hours. However, it never regained full sensation.
So I didn't remember that they ended up finding it.
Yeah, they found, like, you imagine search, you're a cop and you're searching Got for it. A severed dick.
Oh my God.
So I was talking actually with Amber at work about this, this incident. It states that he was asleep, obviously, when she cut it off. But how did he not wake up? Because, I mean, your wife could still, wife could still cut the shit out of you, but to be asleep while it's completely severed and not wake up.
I don't get
something,
that.
I want to find out more of how he actually, unless she was really quick, just pulled it up in one swoop motion, then just cut it off.
And
like the last samurai.
Yeah. Jeanette. she was totally decked out in samurai gear.
She was wearing like the hat, the saucer hat and everything.
Yeah. I don't know, man, but what's it say at the end of that article? And they lived happily ever after.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Did they must have gotten divorced, right? And she's in prison or what? I fact checked
Here's a funny quote from her. In quotes, she told police, "He always has orgasms, and he doesn't wait for me ever to have one. He's selfish." That's why she was pissed.
That is pretty selfish.
But it says that he emotionally and physically abused her, so there's more to this story.
Of course. I mean, you don't just chop off a dick because...
But as a guy, knowing there's stories out there... Yeah, in 1995, after 6 years of marriage, John and Lorena got divorced. So it was 2 years after the incident.
It must have just been the paperwork at that point. I don't think he was contemplating staying.
Thinking about a wife
So
cutting your penis
not
off.
Not fully functional.
Me.
He can't have sex ever again.
No,
probably.
I'm guessing it's just cosmetically like there.
Yeah.
But he can't fuck and go buck wild like Dude. We do.
That's pretty brutal. So we've got another story, but I'm going to skip here because I want you to talk about another dick-related one.
Yeah.
So let's skip down. We've got another one a little further down, if you will.
So another in recent news for spousal is... So here's the headline. Wife who mocked husband for small penis gloated about lesbian affair on day she was stabbed to death. David Clark of 49, who's accused of murdering his wife Melania, 44, broke down in tears as he gave evidence as his murder trial in Birmingham. A wife who regularly mocked her husband for having a small penis has gloated about having a lesbian affair the day she was stabbed to death, a court has heard. Birmingham Crown Court heard Melanie had a lesbian tryst with a friend's
daughter.
They
changed her name.
What's
it was Melania in the first
one. Yeah, Melanie and a tryst. With her friend's daughter in a marital bed while her husband was asleep just days before she was stabbed to death on New Year's Eve. David claimed she later bragged to her husband about how pal Katie Bastians had oral sex with her just after Christmas Day.
So the fucking gist of this is this woman, first of all, would constantly mock the dude for having a small dick.
But it was her husband.
Yeah, but he obviously took it a little more seriously than she
took
did.
It more sensible.
Well, I mean, what do you think she called him? Like Little Pecker, Little Dick?
What was his name? Little David Dick.
And then she had sex with a friend of theirs, daughter, right?
Yeah, oral.
Like lesbian sex, oral,
yeah.
Right?
Scissors.
Maybe a little bit.
Kiss and muffs.
And then she came back and bragged to him, probably saying like, you know, I got off way better than I could with your little dick. Then he fucking murdered her.
He
snapped.
Her.
That's like those shows Snapped. You ever watch that one?
No, I've never seen
Snapped.
Oh, you
gotta see Snapped. It's fantastic.
Sounds like an Eli Roth like fake movie
trailer. It
might
as well be
Snapped.
No, it's a show. I think it's on TLC or A&E or whatever. But it's one of those like murder type true story crime things where they shed light on a story where these people are completely normal,
yeah.
And then something just snapped and triggered them, and then they butcher multiple people or their spouse or whatnot. It's really good. So that's what it kind of reminds me of.
I'll
like
to check that out.
Because reading some of the background, it seems like she was a pretty normal person outside of just ridiculing him for a baby dick.
We'll see.
But that was pretty funny. And then there's another one, and this has to do with some cheating in Thailand. And the headline reads, "Moment jealous wife strips husband's mistress naked and smothers her with fish sauce and chili powder."
Who the fuck does that?
A furious wife dragged the beautician by her hair and doused her body in extra hot chili powder. That's pretty creative.
It sounds good.
And there's a fucking picture. Did you see the pic?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, the broad is standing in broad daylight, the fucking middle of the street. There's a car right next to her. She's in like the express lane, it looks like. And the naked mistress is on the ground just covered in fish sauce, and then she's dumping the chili powder on top of her, too.
What is fish sauce? Because that sounds awful.
I'm guessing it's just like
I would never eat fish sauce.
Fish oil or something? I don't know. It probably just lathered her up so that the chili powder would stick.
Why is she wearing a mask? Dumping
that's,
the
I know. I was going to comment.
Sauce.
She looks like one of the cholos down in Mexico, right? She's got like a bandana right across the mouth.
She's got like weird sandals
on
too.
The funniest thing about this is that this apparently is a trend in Thailand. It's like a copycat incident. So anytime somebody gets caught cheating, this is what the wife ends up doing to the mistress. It's become a real problem.
I would just hide the fish sauce in the house.
Oh, man. There's fucking pictures of her like cut up and stuff. Not good. Not good. Seems sensible.
Very.
And then we got one more out of Michigan. And this one kind of gave me the chills. It turns out the woman was just a straight-up serial killer. Seemed like someone also that would be on the show Snapped. So the headline is, "Michigan woman may have served ex-lover's remains at a UP," that being the Upper Peninsula, "a barbecue up there." And basically, this woman allegedly, and it doesn't seem very allegedly because I'm pretty sure she admitted to this at some point, but basically she and her husband murdered an ex-lover of hers back in 2014. They chopped him up and then froze him. Then 2 years later, recently, the woman murdered the husband with a lethal dose of heroin. Because he helped kill the fucking lover. And that was apparently everything she had. And I don't know if maybe he helped convince her, but it doesn't seem as much.
So they're both dead.
Then, come 2017, this broad fucking decided to cook up the two bodies and serve them in burger patties.
Who did she serve them to? Just friends?
At a neighborhood cookout. Yeah. So people were eating and were like, I didn't really think about it, but the burger did taste really bad and strange.
I bet it'd be good, though.
No. Some people say it tastes like chicken. And some people say...
Is this from personal experience?
I've never heard
from a friend.
But how fucking gross, dude. And then now it turns out she fucking killed like 8 or 9 people and buried them in various places. So she's now considered a serial killer.
Well, she's only 36, so she's got, I mean, 9 down. That's a lot.
I guess
a
what we're trying to tell Sensible Nation is don't piss off your spouse.
Yes. Happy spouse, happy life, right?
There you go. Well, we've got a word from our sponsor. And then when we come back, we will be live with the Perez Hilton. Stay tuned.
If you're in love with comfort, quality, romantic dining, and your very own parking space, you'll love the Getaway Inn, right off Interstate 115 in beautiful Butte. As soon as you enter the Getaway Inn, you'll be allured by our carpeted and fully furnished lobby for your comfort. Make your way to the front desk, where you'll quickly learn how we like to spoil our guests. At the Getaway Inn, you'll feel like you're in a five-star resort, with rates starting at just $12.99. Enjoy your complimentary elevator ride to your lush room, accessed by your complimentary key card. Once inside, relax in your complimentary 100 thread count custom linens and admire the decor, including your stain-free lampshade. And that's not all. Use your complimentary phone call to the front desk to inquire about your complimentary travel brochure and pen while supplies last. Hungry? Browse our room service menu for a tasty snack. We recommend the chicken tartare, prepared daily in the friendly confines of our lobby kitchenette. So call toll-free 800-GETAWAY to book your getaway today.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned right before the break, we are super excited to be joined by the internet's most notorious gossip columnist, the one and only Perez Hilton. Perez, my man, welcome to Sensible People.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I love the world of podcasting. I have one myself.
I know, and we want to talk about that in a little bit, but I want to mention you're already a better guest than Tom Arnold, my friend.
Oh, no.
Well, he was on CNN the other day. Did you see that?
He was with you on CNN or on your podcast?
No. Did you see him on CNN by chance?
No. I mean, I know he was making news because of Michael Cohen, but I didn't watch the interview. What was wrong with it?
Perez, check. It's like a 2-minute a clip. Give it after this. Look him up. He's on CNN. It is the most awkward interview you will see.
It's just
What was awkward about it?
Well, I think he showed up a little inebriated, to say the least, and it was almost hard to watch, I must tell you. I don't know if he needs to go to rehab or what, but it's like one celebrity after another that gets bitten by the drug and alcohol.
He was just kind of like.
I'll have to watch it myself to judge for that. I'm pretty good at figuring those kinds of things out. I mean, I haven't watched it. I had only read the headlines, but. And I'm not like one to defend Tom Arnold, but definitely devil's advocate for a second and just think that, you know, because he was talking about sensitive things and because of everything that happened with his ex, Roseanne, and, you know, legal matters, that I think maybe he just very extremely overabundantly carefully worded himself.
That's fair.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Perhaps. I don't know. We'll let you judge, and then we'll circle back with you and get an answer.
All right.
Fair enough. So Raw Dog and I have listened to your the Perez Hilton podcast a few times. I must say it's really rather entertaining. So tell us a little bit about the podcast for those that don't know. Tell our fan base, Sensible Nation, a little more about the podcast and then your website and what else is keeping you busy these days.
Awesome sauce. Well, oh my gosh, I can't believe I used that word. I haven't used that in like
I love it.
Half a decade or something.
Bring it back. We're bringing it back.
Well, I'm a very busy person. I do a ton of different things, from my website to I've been doing acting lately. And I've been doing the podcast now for a few years. And I love getting on other podcasts to talk about it because podcast listeners listen to other podcasts as well.
Sure.
But what sets mine apart is that I don't have any guests. We did it first. And then I realized, God, this is such annoyingness. And, you know, I don't really want to be talking to people that just have something to promote.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear myself talk, but not just me. What makes my podcast great isn't me, because, you know, I could do it on my own and it would be a quarter as good as it is now. What makes my podcast talking about everything pop culture, which is celebrity news, you know, whatever's trending. What makes it great is my co-host and I together. He's this macho, like mechanical dude from West Virginia who is the complete opposite of me. And usually when you have podcasts, you have, you know, co-hosts that are like-minded individuals talking about their shared common interests.
Yep.
He and I have this shared common interest, but we're the just furthest apart from each other. And it's a lot of us disagreeing about things, but I think that makes it really compelling to listen.
Absolutely.
So sometimes we agree on things, and that makes me feel good too. I'm like, okay, you're finally right for once.
Well, that's why we loved your podcast, Prez, because she's not with us here right now. She's on maternity leave, but that other co-host that we had is kind of like the polar opposite of Taylor and I's opinions. And that's what we love too, is that dynamic. What I wanted to ask is how did you originally get hooked up with Chris Booker?
Sure. Well, I used to call in every morning to Amp Radio here in Los Angeles because Carson Daly used to have a radio show here. Unfortunately, that show, you know, he left allegedly. that show is no longer, and they got rid of everybody on the show from the producers to me, and they completely, you know, put in a brand new cast of characters on there. But whenever Carson was off, Booker would fill in. So he was the fill-in guy. And I loved my chemistry with him even more so than with Carson Daly. So when it came time to do a podcast and I was approached about it, I was like, I know exactly whom I want to be my co-host. And if people want to listen to it, they could check out the Perez Hilton podcast with Chris Booker on iTunes. Or, and this is a little tip that I tell all my fellow podcasters, people are lazy.
Yeah, they are.
Make it even simpler for them. You know, you could tell them, go to the, you know, iTunes and type in the Perez Hilton podcast, or you could tell them just go directly to perezpodcast.com.
No doubt.
Get a custom URL for your podcast if you don't have it yet, so that you could also say go there or there. And then people will at least remember one or the other and then do whatever is quickest or easiest for them.
Yeah, for
right,
sure.
Right. Yeah, we do have sensiblepeoplepodcast.com, and oftentimes that's just the easiest outlet for us to share.
Yeah.
So you mentioned on the podcast, I think it was either the last episode or the one before, that you're doing something with Chippendales in Vegas this summer. Can you share a little bit about what you're doing and reveal to us what edition of 8-Minute Abs you're trying to get your ass into shape on? Because that seems like it's a daunting task.
Well, you know, back in the 90s, I went to college for acting. So I have a theatrical background. I'm a trained thespian.
Perfect.
And I've done a lot of acting over the years. I've been in movies. I've been in TV shows. I've been in musicals. And it's been about 2 years now since I've done a show. And I was itching to get back on stage. And also, you know, I'm a father of three, which maybe some of your listeners don't know. They might have known me or remembered me from something else. But my life now is a very, very busy, working hard father. And one of my biggest mottos in life as a father of three is, how can I make more money, spend less, make more, spend less, make more, spend less? So, you know, it was, I forget what month, but I got a press release about the new celebrity host for Chippendales, which was, his name is, I think, Tony D'Avalani or Tony something from Dancing with the Stars.
Yep, sure.
And I just literally had a light bulb go off in my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to email this publicist whom I know and pitch myself.
Right.
Because it would be like a free vacation, basically. Even better, it would be a paid vacation.
Hell yeah.
I would take my whole family with me. I was like, I'm interested. And these are the dates, you know, basically the dates were the 6 weeks between my son being done with summer camp and the start of school, because I didn't want to be gone for that long either, just because, you know, it's important for me to be in Los Angeles and, you know, things are here and things pop up and I would have to turn down other things. And also, like, I didn't want my kids to be lacking in total structure for that long either. Like, school ended a couple of weeks ago and this Monday, you know, he started in summer camp. So it just seemed perfect. And they said yes. And I loved it because it's a perfect marriage of their brand and my brand. You know, my followers are overwhelmingly female. And the people that go see Chippendales, though it's very inclusive and men are welcome and men do go, overwhelmingly in the audience, it's predominantly female.
Of course.
So, you know, I'm going to be a celebrity host unlike any of the ones they've had before. You know, whereas Tyson Beckford and Antonio Sabato Jr., we're more of like a glorified Chippendales member.
Yeah.
I see myself more as your best friend or the ringmaster, like making sure that everybody's having the best time and that the energy is at 110.
I'm sure you'll do a good job at that, Perez.
Well, I am sure as well. I guarantee
I like
that.
That answer.
Excellent. So are you going to still keep up with the podcast then? I think you release every week, right?
Yeah, of course. Like,
beautiful.
The only thing that may suffer, at least temporarily until I'm done with rehearsals and, you know, any initial like crazy media around it for the first few weeks, my YouTube might suffer, but hopefully it won't. I'm very active on YouTube as well. I'm the busiest person I know. I have not one, but two YouTube channels. I have my main channel, which is Perez Hilton, and on there I, you know, make daily videos where I talk about all sorts of different things. I do my daily pop culture recaps. I'll have celebrity interviews on there. I do musical performances with artists that come and perform in my backyard.
Yep.
I'll do music reaction videos. Everything entertainment, pop culture is there. And then The Perez Hilton is my family channel.
Okay.
So I'll have my kids opening presents. My mom is on there. People love my mom. They love watching my mom eat. It's hilarious. But I'll also talk about dating. I'll talk about anxiety. I'll talk about parenting. I'll talk about health issues. And I love it. I love making the videos. So yeah, I hope they don't suffer too much at the beginning, you know, and if they do, then it's okay. Cause you know, I've got to be a professional and I'm getting paid to do a good job at Chippendales.
Yeah. It sounds like you offer and can in relatable material for anybody to be able to watch your YouTube channels.
Yeah, man, I try. I mean, it's all about being authentic, and I am. And that's the most important thing, because more often than not, I'd say 90% of people on social media are fake. And I think that's why people enjoy following me from Instagram to Twitter to Facebook to Tumblr to Snapchat to YouTube, because I'm not fake. And when I'm, you know, feeling like I'm sucking like a dad, I let you know. I'm like, this is the reason why. Or when I feel like, you know, I'm not living up to my potential for this reason or that reason, I let you know. And I also do try to inspire and help people as well, and share my knowledge and what I've learned along the way. I'm a 40-year-old grown-ass person now.
Yep. No doubt. So, you know, I think a lot of people just need more authenticity in their lives. So that's good to hear.
Yeah.
So we know, obviously, what put you on the map. You're the king of celebrity gossip. And we know you're a good friend of another so-called king of gossip, that being Howard Stern. So Howard recently shed some light on his past interviews with Donald Trump, in which, you know, Trump would ruthlessly kind of rape women celebrities on their looks and whatnot. Have you heard of that?
All of which was public knowledge. I mean,
I think he just brought it back.
Hidden.
Right. Because it hadn't been in the public's eye for very many years. So with that said, you know, we thought it'd be fun spin to turn the tables and have you, Perez Hilton, rate Donald Trump. Now, we have a very special rating system here on Sensible People that we just crafted up for this episode. So bear with us as we explain. We've got the first number is a 0 through 9, and that's on the face. And then the second number...
On the face? What do you mean? Like
judging just his facial looks, his appearance.
Oh,
his...
Well, how am I going to do that on a podcast? I can't see you guys.
No.
Mr. Trump. You're going to rate Mr. Trump.
Oh, okay. I'm not listening to anything. Just the face.
Right. You're just judging Donald Trump's face.
Gotcha.
From a beauty point of view. 0 to 9. 0 being
Zero
the worst.
To 9.
9 being the best.
Okay. Oh, all right. I'm starting right now. All right. 0 to 9, I would give him a 3.13
on the face. Now, number 2 is a 0 to 2. So 0, 1, and 2, there's 3 different options on whether or not you would sleep with them. 0 is an absolutely under no circumstances. 1 is only if you're under the influence or within the requirements of a bet. And 2 is absolutely no matter what situation there was. No bet, no influence, nothing. So 0 through 2.
I would say 2. Just because I would try to pull a Stormy Daniels and make as much money from it as possible.
We all love money, huh?
Yeah, I do.
For sure.
And then number 3 is very similar to what number 1 was, which is that first number, 0 through 9, but this now is on the body.
Oh, God, I feel bad because, you know, I'm a former fatty. But, you know, he's an awful human being. So I'll just straight up give him, I'll give him a 1.01.
1.1.
That's awesome. So,
we got a 3.13. We call this the area code rating system. So we got a 3.132. 1.01 Donald Trump.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Donald Trump, rounding up to be easy, is a 3-2-1. Thanks, Perez.
Which is actually a Chicago area code, Perez. So, I don't know if you did that on purpose.
So,
it was meant to be.
You know, we're big fans of the WWE and the hit MTV show Celebrity Deathmatch, if you recall that one back in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
So, who would you consider over time perhaps your biggest enemy, and who would you see yourself pitted against in a celebrity death match style?
We'd make you like a clay figure. Who would you want to fight in that match?
Oh gosh. It would probably be me versus rotating casts of annoyed fans of celebrities.
Just wave after wave.
Yeah. Wave after wave. Like this group of fans, then that group of fans, then another group of fans.
It's like a battle royale.
Yeah.
So what would your finishing move be then, Perez? You can use a weapon if you want to.
I know. What would my finishing move be? It would, let me think. I would have some kind of, I'm trying to think of something ridiculous. I'd have a ridiculous costume on. And my underwear would be like equipped with flying abilities, and my shoes as well. So I would just fly out of there.
Perfect.
Sounds good. Perez, who across all the people you've ran across throughout your career, who would you say is the biggest celebrity asshole or dick that you've encountered?
Not necessarily a rival, but just somebody that you would say is a dick or asshole. To
rubs
the public.
You the wrong way.
I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, I figured that.
I mean, even just on Friday, I'm not going to tell you guys what he said.
Okay.
That's fair.
But because I don't want to give it power or gasoline. I was on this TV show on Friday, and one of the guests, because it was so weird. I just think he's that kind of person. You know, there's that kind of person who on one hand is genuinely excited to meet you, and on the other hand is just a douche, and it's ingrained in their DNA to be a douche and to give backhanded compliments. So I was on this political talk show on Friday, and one of the guests was Ronald Reagan's son, Michael Reagan.
Okay.
So he just said the most backhanded compliment to me. It really took me aback. I'm like, whoa, wow. Okay, I'm going to go get my makeup done now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to engage. I didn't engage then. I'm not going to engage now. But, you know, that happens all the time. But thankfully, what happens more often than not these days is people, celebrities or regular people telling me, you know, I love following you on Instagram. Your kids are so cute. You seem like such a great dad.
And that's what you want to hear. Just, you know, that you're an inspiration to a lot of people.
Oh, I mean, I'm inspiring myself. I have to inspire myself. I got to keep going. Yep. You know, I have a lot of people depending on me. I have 3 kids and my mother that I financially support as well, who lives with me. So that's a lot of mouths to feed, a lot of schools to pay for, and I'm doing it all without a partner.
Yeah. Hard work. Got to pay off.
Yeah. That's, you know, my biggest motto in life. I do believe that hard work will get you very, very, very far.
You got that right, brother. So, all right, another one putting you on the spot, and we promise this is the last one really on the spot. Who would you fuck, marry, and kill? Seth Rogen, Kanye West, and Matt Lauer are the options. He's like, what the hell did I get myself into?
I'd probably fuck Matt Lauer.
I love it.
He probably is the best at it since he's such a D-bag. And had, you know, so much sex with his subordinates. Then I would kill Kanye West and marry Seth Rogen. Yeah.
Perfect. Sounds like a little life.
Yeah. All right, so Perez, sensible or not, which is actually, you know, a staple segment of our show. We're just going to give you one question. Sensible or not? Is it sensible to demand to see a permit from an 8-year-old selling water?
absolutely not sensible.
We figured you'd say as much, and we're in the same boat with you there.
Well, actually, I thought you guys could talk about this as well when you read up on it. I saw the most ridiculous news story this morning about a 13-year-old middle school or high school student, a 13-year-old,
okay,
who secretly recorded his principal being charged with some ridiculous thing. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Okay.
Yeah,
this student charged with eavesdropping after recording talk with principal, and he's just 13 years old, or she, I don't even know, an Illinois middle school student. Yeah, a boy, Paul Boren, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like school's changed a lot.
Not sensible.
When we were in school.
Yeah, not sensible.
Not sensible at all. Well, Perez, we thank you for your time, man. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for jumping on with us. Hopefully we can connect again in the future. Tell us one more time your website and where we can find the podcast just once more.
All right, you guys. Perez Hilton here. You can follow me on PerezHilton.com. You can also follow me. I'm everywhere. And so is the website. We each have our own social media handles. Perez Hilton for the website, The Perez Hilton for me, on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Tumblr, on Instagram. I hope to connect with you. And the podcast is The Perez Hilton Podcast with Chris Booker. You can listen to it on iTunes or directly at PerezPodcast.com.
And Sensible Nation, you heard it first. Donald Trump is a 3-1-2, according to Perez Hilton.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Perez.
Thank you. Have a good one. Bye.
You too. All righty. Thank you guys for listening to our interview with Perez Hilton. We had a lot of fun.
Yes,
too much
we did.
Fun, in fact. So that's a wrap for us, I guess, Raw Dog. But we got a lot going on this summer. We've got a lot of exciting episodes coming out. And we got the big event Friday, so it's going to be a fun one, man.
I think so.
So, guys, let's all follow us on Twitter at @sensible_people. And we are on Instagram at @sensible_people. You can also review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podchaser. They really help. We encourage you to rate them and share them with friends and share the good word about our podcast. And then, of course, we got merchandise.
Yep. Don't forget about our merchandise. We have our normal t-shirts, coffee mugs, beach towels, tank tops, phone cases, socks, what have yous. The new items we got released last week is our personalized monkey t-shirts. There's a Tatanka shirt. There's a Raw Dog shirt, and there's an Amber shirt. So go on out. Don't be cheap assholes and buy some merchandise.
Someone bought the first beach towel, too, which is exciting.
We saw that. It looked awesome.
All right, guys. We are Sensible People. Episode 22 out. See ya.
See ya, sensible fuckers.